Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm glad you can join me for this episode. Victory Sunday. And I know you normally it's Victory Monday, but the San Francisco 49ers defeated the Green Bay Packers 24-21 in an absolutely thrilling divisional round of the NFL playoffs. And that game left a lot of question marks. And of course, you watch my live reaction show, you get the live reaction. Get all the things that we talk about. You know, I'm interacting with everyone that listens. In this episode, I want to kind of get into some of the numbers of the game, talk about the ins and outs, and go back through how the 49ers were able to win this matchup. Because I think when you were watching the game, you really had a feeling like the Green Bay Packers were in control of most of the game. It seemed like every single time the 49ers answered or had something going in their way, the Green Bay Packers were able to flip the script on the 49ers. And the 49ers had to play catch-up. And it ends with the 49ers going down, getting that big touchdown by Christian McCaffrey, a 65-yard drive led by Brock Purdy, and then a huge interception by Dre Greenlaw. But there's so much to go over in this game because I think as bad as it felt, I'm not sure the game was as bad when you look at the numbers. The 49ers definitely didn't play their best game. I don't think I can argue with anyone that says, you know, that it wasn't their best game, because that's the truth. But when the moments came and they needed to make big plays, their players stepped up and made those plays. Whether that was Christian McCaffrey's explosive run, or that was Brock Purdy's scramble, or his big throw to Juwan Jennings, or it was Dre Greenlaw coming up with the interceptions, it was just consistently having 49ers players make big-time plays for this football team. And so I'm so excited to talk about it again, because it's just such a thrilling time when you're in the playoffs. And we know the 49ers are going to have the NFC Championship game around the corner, and we're going to have plenty of time during the week to talk, you know, 49ers versus Lions. But I wanted to take a look at 49ers versus Packers again and kind of celebrate and yet go through the numbers of what happened in this football game. It was a lot of fun. And if you would, please like and subscribe. If you like, it helps kick it down the algorithm. If you subscribe, It helps me get closer to my 5K goal that I've been trying to get to before the Super Bowl. I'm almost there, getting close to about being about 100 away. So you could be the reason why I reached that today. So thank you guys so much for all you do. And if you're listening on audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe, please give it a 5-star rating. I really appreciate everyone that downloads and listens to it on all the audio platforms. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. With the NFL playoffs here and the NBA season in full swing, Bet Online has you covered with all the up-to-the-second odds, news, and scores. With additional odds, lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today and get into the action and see all the updated odds. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. So I want to talk about these numbers a little bit, and I like getting into the team aspect of it, because one of the things that we talked about going into this matchup was how good these two teams were on third down. Both teams were 47% on third down. 49ers, 47.5. Green Bay Packers, 47.1. Both defenses gave up third down conversions at close to 41%. So how are these offenses going to show up in the big game? How are they going to be able to convert on third down? Well, the San Francisco 49ers converted 10 out of 16 third downs. 62%. Okay, that is elite level NFL conversion rate on third down. So if even though the 49ers didn't do everything well, one thing they did really well was third downs. And I think that's so important to remember that you've got to stay on the field. And it felt like the Green Bay Packers, and I'm sure this is how everyone else felt, had the ball the entire first half. 49ers only saw three drives. Green Bay Packers had the ball for, you know, what, 6 minutes on the opening drive. They were consistently with the ball in their hands, and the 49ers defense was on the ropes early on. Now, the 49ers defense stepped up. They made the plays they were supposed to make. They held field goals. They got a big fourth down stop, a turnover on downs that was absolutely huge and pivotal. So even though the Green Bay Packers were effective in moving the football, and they were successful on third down as well, they were 7 of 13, over 50% on third down. So they played well as well. 49ers were just able to be just a little bit better on third down. And ultimately, that ends up being the difference in the football game. 49ers converting. Of course, we talked about the fourth down. Packers, the only one of the two teams to go for it on fourth, and they didn't get it. Now, here's what's interesting. You start looking at it. We talked about how 49ers felt like they didn't have the ball at all, like the Green Bay Packers had the ball the entire first half. I know that's how it felt to me. The game felt a little odd and off. Well, if you look at the total plays, the Green Bay Packers, 62 plays on offense. The San Francisco 49ers, 64. So the 49ers actually ran more plays than the Green Bay Packers. I found that off, you know, a little odd. So the 49ers come through on that. You look at total yards, Green Bay Packers 330 to the 49ers 356. So the 49ers outgained them. Even though if you told me just by watching that game, you would have said the Niners outgained them, I wouldn't have believed you. But the numbers reveal that is the case. Total drives, both teams with 10. Then you look at average yards per play. Green Bay Packers, 5.3. 49ers, 5.6. This is shocking. I'm expecting these numbers to be switched the other way. I mean, yes, it's pretty dead even, right? Two more plays, 26 extra yards, you know, just a little bit more as far as yards per play. But I think it shows an interesting sign. Then you look at the passing numbers, and you got the Green Bay Packers throwing for 194 yards, under 200 yards through the air. I mean, this was an offense for the Green Bay Packers that was firing on all cylinders against Dallas. Jordan Love was absolutely carving up that defense in the secondary, and that was a Dallas defense that's thought to be way better than the San Francisco 49ers. Yet the 49ers held Jordan Love and that passing game under 100, or under 200 yards. Now, full disclosure, Aaron Jones' effectiveness on the ground probably diminished the amount of yards they've got throwing the football. But ultimately, I thought that the 49ers defense did pretty good. And then it was 245 for the 49ers offense. So they got it done. Average yards per pass, 5.7 for Green Bay. Brock Purdy, 6.1. Now, this is nowhere near what Brock Purdy hits for a season average, so give credit to Green Bay Packers for how they played against the 49ers receivers, because normally the 49ers are closer to 9. But 6.1, hey, it was enough. And then you had the 2 interceptions, which were huge in that. And really, I mean, this is one thing that was so frustrating during the game and got a lot of comments about it. The 49ers got 0 sacks on Jordan Love. That offensive line for Green Bay put together 2 outstanding performances, one against Dallas and one against San Francisco. They didn't give up a single sack against 2 of the best pass rushing defenses in the entire league. So that was really, really good. And then Brock Purdy was sacked 1 time. He lost 7 yards. And I think that there was a lot of times Brock Purdy had to get rid of the football. Brock Purdy was hurried, and he made some decisions that he needed to make to get rid of the ball, scramble outside the pocket. But the 49ers offensive line, they held up pretty good when all is said and done. So, yeah, I mean, it was interesting. Still no sacks. I was expecting the 49ers to get after Jordan Love a little bit. I thought that Arik Armstead and Javon Hargrave would have a lot of success up the middle and be able to get into his face and cause some disruption. That wasn't the case. I mean, they did cause disruption from time to time, you know, right down the end when Carlson ends up missing the field goal. Armstead got released free, and he got right into his face. But that was not the norm. The 49ers struggled to get pressure consistently on Jordan Love, and I think we just tip our cap to Green Bay. They did a really, really good job. Now, on the ground, the Green Bay Packers did exactly what they set out to do. 138 yards on the ground. Aaron Jones had a fantastic game. 49ers hadn't given up a 100-yard rusher in over 50 games straight. So they had been phenomenal against rushers in the NFL. Well, he broke that big run in the fourth quarter, and it looked like that was going to be, you know, almost all she wrote. And the 49ers were able to, you know, hold, and then the missed field goal happens. But Aaron Jones looked very good in this game, and he had a lot of success against the 49ers as far as the run game. They battled to slow him down, but over the last 5 weeks of the season, he went over 100 yards every single time he was out there. And so I thought that they did exactly what they wanted to do on the ground. I think if they would have looked at their stats and they said, yeah, we rushed for 136 yards on 28 carries at a 4.9 average, they would have thought they won the football game, but they didn't. And when you look over at the 49ers, they had 24 rushes, so only 4 less rushes than the Green Bay Packers, 111 yards and 4.6 yards per average. And of course, the ball carriers were pretty much just Christian McCaffrey. Brock Purdy had the scramble, and then Juwan Jennings for whatever reason. And that's one of the most interesting things, right? The Juwan Jennings play. I know Kyle Shanahan said that was just a mistake, and those things happen. A little interesting, though, that the mistake happens coming right out of halftime. Normally, everyone's on the same page about what you're going to run when you come out of half, especially when you start with the ball. But so Aaron Jones was 18 carries for 108 yards, a 6-yard average. He did have a 53-yard long, and I think that's a big reason he got his 108. So you think about that. That was in the fourth quarter, so the 49ers had held him pretty good until that run. But, you know, he did it big. He made a big run on that play, and they were having success being able to pin and pull, kick our defensive end, outside edge rusher down using wide receivers, pull alignment around the outside, and getting those toss plays going early. That worked. Bravo to Steve Wilks and the 49ers defense for adjusting in the second half. They started taking away that play. They put people in the alley, and they started slowing up that play. So 49ers definitely did adjust to what Green Bay was doing, but Green Bay's early success definitely helped them on offense early on in this football game. And really, it was Aaron Jones versus Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey, 17 carries for 98 yards, 5.8 average. Of course, he had the huge explosive touchdown. I love that it came on a little short toss. I said that was going to happen in the game plan, that Kyle was going to run that, and he gets to it, and it really worked in the third quarter. It was very successful. When you give that toss, it makes those defenders on the outside widen out, believing you could go outside, and then it makes linebackers start to move, so that when you get vertical, and it allows McCaffrey to get his shoulders vertical quickly, he can get the vision where he needs to go. Then he made an excellent move running up the field to make Savage miss, and then he broke a tackle and got up through there. It was jump cut, gone for the touchdown. Absolutely fantastic. Great blocking up front. Jake Brendel, by the way, I don't think the film, when I get into the All-22, I haven't got into it yet, but I'll be honest. The All-22 film is, I don't know how kind it's going to be to Jake Brendel, But there are two phenomenal blocks that I know for sure in this football game. Number one, the Christian McCaffrey long touchdown run that I was just talking about. Jake Brindle walls off the defender. Fantastic block. Hips around. Perfect. The touchdown to win the football game. Jake Brindle gets the nose tackle to the ground, and he did a fantastic job opening another huge hole. Both touchdowns go to the right side in the run game, which is interesting because everyone talks about how the 49ers don't run successfully behind the right side of the line with Colt McKivitz and John Feliciano, but they did it in this football game. Both big touchdown runs come to the right side. That's something good going forward, as the 49ers are going to have to continue to be a good football team and play really well in the NFC Conference Championship game. Let's look at the turnovers, because the turnovers ended up being huge in this game. Jordan Love throws two interceptions, and the one at the end, I mean, Dre Greenlaw has both interceptions, but the one at the end is funny. If you go back and you watch, Chase Young is already celebrating before the ball even gets there, because Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner, one of them's coming up with that football, and Dre gets it. The only thing we all wish, go down Dre Greenlaw. I get it. Like, I get it. You want to make a play. You want to go score, but not in that situation. You did it. You won. Get down. Let the offense come in and finish this game off by kneeling down the football. So even though everyone was super excited, I guarantee his coaches, Johnny Holland, is going to go up to him and be like, hey, man, don't you ever do that again. We love you. That was a great play. Don't ever do that again. But yeah, it was big time. So the two turnovers for Jordan Love end up being back-breaking for the Green Bay Packers. 49ers, you know, don't turn over the football. Now, Brock Purdy threw some turnover quality throws. I thought Jordan Love threw the two interceptions, and I thought there was another one that Diamondor Lenore let go through his hands that was potentially an intercepted, potential interception as well. So it is on the onus of the other team to make those plays. Diamondor Lenore didn't make.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Plays the Green Bay Packers. Savage, he didn't make an interception when he could have probably had a pick six early in this football game. Got to make those things happen. They didn't. And the two turnovers were huge. And when you weren't in the turnover battle, Christian McCaffrey rushes for over 75 yards. As 49ers, you win football games. And they did. And when you look at the penalties, I think the penalties were huge in this game. 49ers defenders committed way too many penalties, especially in the secondary. Ambry Thomas had two pivotal penalties, including a 41-yard defensive pass interference. That can't happen. He had good coverage on Bo Melton. There's no reason to grab onto Bo Melton. That's bad technique. He can't do that. And the 49ers don't have much options on the outside. Now, they don't want to play Isaiah Oliver in the nickel. They want Diamondor Lenore. That means Ambry Thomas has to step up. Jason Verrett got hurt. It probably would have been Jason Verrett out there. The 49ers probably would have been rolling with him, but they're not now. And they've got to make sure Ambry Thomas gets his act together. And the 49ers are going to have to protect him some. But the reality is Ambry Thomas has got to step up his game. You can't be pulling. You can't be grabbing. You got to go out there and use your eyes. You can put your hands on the receiver. You just can't grab. You can't wrap. And you can't pull. And he needs to realize that. So that thing was a little frustrating. Six penalties for 83 yards against the 49ers. You had the pivotal one against Trent Williams as well, coming on after the kick return or a punt return, and he gets a push. It's like, just know. You know what I mean? I know it was a flop, but just know 49ers can't allow the opposing team to get in their heads, get free yards, anything like that. You need to make sure you play a clean game, because the Green Bay Packers, they had one penalty for 5 yards. One. They played a really clean game as far as penalties go. Turnovers, it didn't work out for them. But now, another interesting stat that I thought was very interesting was time of possession. I expected this to be completely lopsided in favor of the Green Bay Packers. It's not. Green Bay Packers held the ball for 30 minutes and 19 seconds. The San Francisco 49ers, 29 minutes and 41 seconds. That's the difference. Under a minute difference between the two teams. So this game was a lot more even when you look at the final stats compared to what I believe we thought when we watched the football game. So do I think the 49ers played a better game than Green Bay? Probably not. They just played better when they were supposed to. They executed when they were supposed to. They didn't turn the football over. So they did what they needed to do to win. It wasn't a clean victory. It's not the, you know, not the way that 49er fans want them to win, but a win is a win, and it needs to be celebrated. We just won a divisional round playoff game. And I think that we're, a lot of people are kind of taking a look at the negative and saying, yeah, but this, and this. But remember, what happens in this playoff game is not a carryover. The playoff games are so unique because it's a one-game season every time. So what happened in this game can be left behind, and a new game happens the next week that's completely different. It's like a one-game season. It's so crazy. So it's a different matchup. It's a different team, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see. But I thought that was interesting. Now, another big thing for the 49ers, and I got to be as clear as I can, pick the ball out of the end zone. And it's not Jake Moody's fault. I know people will blame Jake Moody. Hey, your kickoffs aren't good enough. He's getting told to directional kick on kickoffs. And then there's returns coming off those. It is time for the 49ers to just be done with that. I know you got Odom. You got Flanagan Fowles. You got Oren Burks. You've got very good special teams players. No reason for the risk. You just scored to go up 14-13. You can't allow a big return. And what is the net gain? Let's say that you tackle them at the 20-yard line. Your net gain is 5. You make them go 80 yards. I know that can be huge. The problem is the momentum shift from them getting all the way down to the 20-yard line is gigantic. You just can't allow that to happen. Stop allowing special teams problems by not kicking it out of the end zone. It's time to just, hey, you've got one of the best defenses in the league. Make a team go 75 yards. If they can go 75 yards, tip your cap. But, I mean, the difference between 75 and 80, come on. I mean, it's just come on at this point. We just can't have those big plays that flip momentum one way or the other. So the 49ers, you know, suffer that big, you know, kickoff return. Bravo to Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, right? Oren Burks was chasing that one down. Him and Darrell Luter Jr. were running with everything they had to make him cut back in. Flanagan Fowles and Jordan Mason punched the football out. Mason pulled the arm down. Flanagan Fowles hit it from behind. It was a great play, but we don't want those things to happen. We just don't. Take the onus back. Don't allow them to have an opportunity. Just don't. Your special teams is not good enough this year, and that's okay. Just be successful with what you're doing. Let's look at the 49ers and Packers quarterbacks real quick. Jordan Love was 21 of 34, 194 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. His QBR was 44.5 and a rating of 72.4. The 49ers defense did a good job of limiting Jordan Love's effectiveness. Look at Brock Purdy, 23 of 39. I know there's a lot more passes there than people want. I can't wait to dive into the film because it's not as simple as, hey, let's just run the football more. And I am a firm believer in running the football more, so I want to make that clear. But there is also context to it. What is Green Bay running defensively? Has Green Bay got an eighth man in the box? Are they running a single high safety? Because if they are, throw the football. It's not that complicated. And I know people say, hey, just run the ball anyways. But why would you not be as successful? You have more opportunity now in the passing game with a single high safety than the run game with 8 guys in the box. You got to take the numbers. People want you to go by percentages. People want you to go with what works. That's the case. When they're 2 high safety, yeah, run the football. Even if it's 2nd and 10, run the football. I do believe there are probably occasions during this game where Kyle Shanahan didn't, you know, get the 49ers the right play, you know, to, you know, or they didn't run the right play against a 2 high or single high. Sometimes they threw the ball anyways. Maybe that's Brock not checking out. Maybe that's Kyle. I don't know. I want to go through the film and really look at it. But it's not as simple as just run the ball more. It's not. There's context to everything. Because as a play caller, you're looking at what the defense is presenting, and you're trying to take advantage of the weaknesses that they're providing. And so if the weakness they're providing is in the run game, you take it. If the weakness is in the passing game, you take it. No matter if you're throwing three times in a row, you're doing it because that's your obvious advantage to be more successful. That's your best opportunity. And so I think that it's not as clear as that. So, yeah, I don't want Brock Purdy throwing the ball 39 times. I don't. He had 16 incompletions in this game, but it was what the 49ers needed to do to win. 252 yards through the air, pretty close to season average. They normally get 263, 6.5 average. We talked about that being down. And Brock's rating for the game, 86.7. It's not one of his best this season. Definitely not Brock's best game. I think he would admit that. But it was good enough to win the football game. And that's ultimately what you're trying to do. Now, let's look at the pass catchers. And, you know, there was a lot of conversation about Green Bay Packers pass catchers, right? The secondary had to worry. They've got so many weapons. And I thought their pass catchers did pretty good. Romeo Dobbs, okay, of course, has been the main guy. He had four catches for 83 yards, 20.6 average. He had a good game. So 38-yard gain on one of those plays, that's a pretty good number. Jaden Reed had four for 35. They held him under 9 yards per reception. Bo Melton had one for 19 yards. Of course, he did get that was the touchdown where Deshaun Gibson fell. And then he did have the big pass interference on Ambry Thomas. So he was able to get vertical and get free a couple of times. I thought the one on Ambry had good coverage. He just grabbed at the end. You can't do that. That's a pass interference call. That's poor technique on Ambry Thomas. There's no need to hold in that situation. So Bo Melton had a decent game. Musgrave had three catches for 14 yards. 49ers did a great job on the tight end there. Christian Watson never got anything going. One catch for 11 yards. Emmanuel Wilson, one catch for 11 yards. Tucker Kraft, three for nine. So there's a lot of conversation about those tight ends. Neither one of them really had a big game. They did have Tucker Kraft with the touchdown right on the rub play. I think the 49ers should have checked into a zone coverage on that. And I think if they would have checked into zone coverage on that, we probably would add a potential interception for Charvarius Ward. So when you get those bunch sets at around the goal line, it's tough to run man, and they caught the 49ers twice, but I believe they should have checked out into a zone coverage. The first time was the touchdown by Tucker Kraft. The second one where they rubbed Fred Warner on Aaron Jones for the two-point conversion. Both of those cases, they got to check out. So that's something I'm sure Steve Wilks is going to look at, because Detroit will do the same thing to the 49ers. They will put them in those situations with Amon-Ra and with Sam Laporta, and they will try to run rub routes to get those guys open. So 49ers are going to have to adjust for sure on the fly. When you look at the 49ers, I mean, George Kittle had a pretty good game. He had four catches for 81 yards, a touchdown, the 32-yard long touchdown. Brock Purdy rolling right, putting it out there in man coverage. He gets the win over the safety. Great throw, great route, and George Kittle getting it done there. Juwan Jennings had himself a game. Welcome back. Just welcome back Juwan Jennings from blocking people out of bounds and into the bench to making clutch third down catches to getting absolutely mollywopped when you get hit. And it was just a great play for him. He had 5 for 61. That's a 12-yard average. Brandon Ayuk, 3 for 32. And one of the most clutch catches over the middle in that last drive. Going down on a ball that's put away from the defender, tight coverage, got to catch it. Hold on to it, and he did. That was fantastic. Brandon Ayuk made the catch when he needed to make it. And then Christian McCaffrey had the most catches, 7 catches for 30 yards, 4.3 average. But he was getting those checkdowns. It was his job. Brock Purdy, especially in the second half, hey, I got to get it to McCaffrey, get it out. They're allowing us to catch the ball underneath. They're playing a soft coverage. Let's get it underneath and let our playmakers create. And so I think that's something he had to do and learn during this football game. You had Deebo Samuel had 2 for 24 before he got hurt. I believe Deebo Samuel was probably going to have a big game if he did not get hurt. We'll find out eventually what's going on with the shoulder. More imaging happening today. And then Chris Conley had 1 catch for 17 yards. That big outcut that he caught in that last drive. How about that, right? Brock Purdy goes to Chris Conley in that situation. I guarantee the Green Bay Packers didn't think that was going to happen, but it absolutely did. And you know, you look at the stats and it kind of gives you a clearer picture. I don't think the 49ers played as bad as maybe it appeared watching it. I think a lot of that's our stress levels and the fact that the 49ers didn't take advantage of opportunities they normally do. I mean, normally when they drive down at the end of a first half, they're scoring. Whether that's a touchdown or the field goal, they're scoring. And then when they come out in the second half, usually you get a better drive. And so I think that they got off to a weird start on that third quarter first drive. Juwan Jennings ran the ball. You know, if that's Deebo Samuel, it's different. But I just think that the 49ers were a little out of whack without Deebo. And knowing how it is to be a play caller, it's difficult when you lose a certain player. Yes, you say and you preach next man up. But when you have a guy with unique skills, it's just different. Because they do different things than everyone else. So you basically have to take a section of your playbook and a section of your game plan and 86 it. Because as much as you like Ray McLeod, as much as you like Juwan Jennings, they can't do the things out of the backfield, and they don't get the attention that Deebo does. Deebo's the rate that people pay attention to Deebo is pivotal. And just him getting the attention he gets takes eyes on him and off of Christian McCaffrey, eyes on him and off of Brandon Ayuk or George Kittle. And then when he does get the ball, he's an absolute stud in the open field and can make plays. So, I mean, it's one of those things where a lot of people probably won't understand the effect it has on a play caller to lose a player with unique skills. A little bit different if you have guys who are similar, right? If you have guys that can, like if you lost Ray McLeod, Ronnie Bell could step in and you would feel pretty comfortable with it, right? If you lost Juwan Jennings and you put Chris Conley in, he's not as good, but he can do the same things. He runs the same routes. He blocks not as good, but similarly, right? It kind of makes sense. But with Deebo, people always say, well, just put Christian McCaffrey in that role. Well, the problem is you went in the game plan, Christian McCaffrey playing the Christian McCaffrey role and Deebo playing the Deebo role. Put Christian McCaffrey the Deebo role. Who plays the Christian McCaffrey role? Because even though Elijah Mitchell's can catch the ball in the backfield and run, he's not going to get the attention that Christian McCaffrey gets. So then McCaffrey becomes a decoy. You just water down your offense. So I get it. It's difficult to adjust on the fly. The 49ers have to have contingency plans, and I think they did. They did better in this one than they did against Cleveland. And when they go to the NFC Championship game, if Deebo's playing, I guarantee you Kyle Shanahan's going to have game plan set up in case Deebo's not prepared. So the 49ers are going to have this set up, but you're hoping you never lose a player and you never have to figure it out. But overall, it was a good time. 49ers get the win. It had me on the edge of my seat the entire time. I was stressed. I was enjoying it. It was exciting. And I'm looking forward to more playoff football. Thank you guys all for joining me for Victory Sunday. More content coming out all week. Be back here all along the channel. Click that notification bell so you know. But like and subscribe if you haven't already. I appreciate it. I hope you think I earned your subscription. And then this episode was brought to you by Bet Online, where the game starts. But I'll catch you guys on the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.